Let's get our Bibles out, and we're going to turn to Philippians. And, you know, for us, those of us new to the Bible, reading the Bible, you know, just a little information. You know, Philippians, and I think I told some of you before, but we're going to, you know, really get our Bible knowledge going here. Philippians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And so Galatians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. And Corinthians is a letter Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. So you add the IA and S, that's the people, right? Like, for example, if he was to write a letter to Franklin Park Church, he'd be called the letter to the Franklin what? Parkians. That's what that's all about, right? Like the Ross Townshipians and... And what? Yes, exactly. Emsworthians and Benavians and stuff like that. So this is the church to the letter in Philippi called the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
In our discipleship training, we're now moving into another phase of our discipleship training. And it is allowing God to use us for his good will and his purpose. That's part of the deal. God using us for his will and for his purpose. And I think a lot of us at times say that we want to be used by God. I think probably the majority of you have said that you want to be used by God. Who here wants to be used by God? Now, and almost, again, one of those tricky questions. Yoshiko's right here. This is good because she's over there. But now she's right here. Good choice of seats, Yoshiko. Perfect. I had told you that I never ask a question what? That you don't know the answer to, right? Of course you all said you want to be used by God. I knew the answer to that. But then the second question was, to do what? That's where the hook comes in. How many understand that too? Right, that's where the hook comes in. Oh, of course I want to be used by God. But then the second part is to do what? And the third part of that is, and when do I need to do it? Isn't that true? Like, we all want to be used an hour and a half or two on a Sunday morning, because why? I'm going there anyhow. Well, that makes sense. Right? Well, I would like to be used on the first Tuesday of every month. Well, that makes sense because that's the board of directors meeting. But what about if he wanted to use you at 8 o'clock tonight? Well, something's going on. What? 6:30. Well, I mean, what if he called you at 8 o'clock tonight to go to a hospital to visit someone and they don't have TV? What would you do then? And that happens, you know, that's a good question, right? Oh, I know all you football unfanatical people say, well, I'll go. I'm not talking to you. I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? But what if God called you to do something, to go to the hospital when you're supposed to be in the prison? What would you do then? Well, no, he called you to do something else. No, he called you to do something else. He changed your plans. What would you do then? And that's the question, right? The reality of it is we want to be used according to God, according to us. How many understand that's true too? How many got a day keeper or a calendar of some sort? Right? Or some sort. And if I called you on the phone and said, hey, you know what? I really need your help. I need to pick you up. 2 o'clock this morning to go to a hospital, and I need you to take me there. Would you say, well, I got to go to work in the morning? I mean, what would the answer be? And what would it be? And so we have to ask ourselves, we want to be used by God, and then we have to ask ourselves, the second question is, well, when is that? And then two, what's the next question? What is that? True? You see, disciples get it. Disciples get it that we are going to be used by God when? When he calls us. True? And for what purpose? His purpose. According to his will. True? That's the plan. And so, how many of us disciples in training are willing to do that? I mean, really, truly willing to do that. Are we willing, like the original disciples, to drop what? Everything? And go and serve the Lord? Is that something? Now be careful when you say, oh yes, I'm willing to do that, because God takes that pretty seriously. Help me understand that too. I mean, you say, oh yes, that's me. God says, oh, thank you. I got something for you to do tomorrow. Well, I didn't mean tomorrow. I mean, I got to take a week. I got a week's time off. But called by the Lord to do His good will. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. One more time.
For it is God who works in you to both to will and to do for His good pleasure.
For His good pleasure. For His good pleasure. And I'm just giving examples of what I know is going on. Now, I know today, for example, my brothers, Bob and Mark and Timmy, and I don't know if Mike, are going up to Mars Sportsman's Club. Mars Sportsman's Club for a shoot. And they got food and all this kind of stuff. And I know they do. And it's a good thing. But I also know, if I got a phone call that we really got a crisis on our hands and I need my brothers to help me out, I know what Mark and Bob and Mike and Timmy would do. The shoot is not all that important. I know that. And I'd like to say I know that about all of us, but I don't know that about all of us. Do you know that about yourself? That I could call you at any time, and go and minister to somebody? 2, 3, 4 in the morning? I mean, would you go? I think most of you would. I'm hoping and praying all of you would. And I'm thinking that that's probably the case. And that's one really neat thing about a small church. You kind of know everybody. Right? You kind of know everybody. And that's a really neat thing. And so we ought to be able to say to the Lord, I want to be used, and I want you to work your divine pleasure and your will through me. Who all says that's true in your life? I told you this once before, and it's worth me telling you again. If we got a phone call right now that somebody's roof is leaking, some churches will get together on their knees and pray over that roof. Now, I'm not saying that's an entirely bad thing to do, but a better thing to do would be what? Get the nail aprons on, take some money out of the fishnet, go get a ladder, and do what? Fix the roof. God does not send carpenter angels down from heaven. Like they fly down from heaven, they got nail aprons on and nail guns, right? That's not how this works. How many of you know that's not how this works? Like, I know churches when somebody comes in the door and they're hungry, their family's hungry. They gather around and they pray over them. Oh, Lord, bless you. Well, that's not a bad thing. What's a better thing? Feed them. How many understand that too? Feed them. And that's one thing we do at the fishnet, and we do that fairly well. Praise God. We do that. Praise God for that. And I know that there are people that are visiting people. I know Pastor Ed does. I know Mark does. I know others do. Mary Madeline does and some others visit people when they're sick in the hospital. That's good. That's what we're supposed to do, right? And so this part of our discipleship training is letting God use us for His purpose and for us to work out His will. Let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6.
Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Now, I want to make sure that we all are on the same page. How many of you know that God is a full-time God? He is full-time God. And we have to decide in our lives, are we full-time Christians or part-time? We have to decide that. Because there's a conflict there. If we worship a full-time God and we are part-time Christians, there's a problem with that, isn't there? There seems to be a disconnect. There's a real problem. You see, God is a full-time God, and He wants what? Full-time Christians. That's what He wants. Now we have to decide, well, what's a full-time Christian? What is that? I mean, would a full-time Christian be a person who just attends a worship service on a Sunday? No. That's a full-time what? Church attender. Right? And that's not bad. That's okay. But God wants to use his people full time. And the ministry of God's will and purpose is 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. 52 weeks a year. How many understand that? God's will and his ministry is not part-time. It's full-time. It's full-time. And I'll let you know, and I know this is true, a lot of members in the church will say, that's why we hire pastors. That's why we pay pastors. So they're doing the work of the Lord full-time. I mean, that's why we hire them. And I want to let you know something right now. Especially in our denominational churches and smaller churches, the pastor is expected to be proficient at what?
Everything.
I mean everything. The pastor should be a good teacher. The pastor should be a good preacher. The pastor should be a good musician. The pastor should be a good vocalist. The pastor should be good administration. How many of you know that ain't happening? And that's why a lot of pastors get burned out. Because they're expected to be good at what? Everything. Is that possible? No. No. And that's why the other members of the church do what? Stand up and take the other stuff that he or she is not good at. Somebody say amen at that. Right? And so we have to understand that God is going to complete the work that he has started in who? Us. How many of you know that he's already started the work in you now? Hasn't he? And he started a work in you and through you, hasn't he? I mean, I want you just to think back if you can. You know, some of you be less of a time thinking back to your 18. Some of us think back a year or two. But some of us, you know. I mean, how many would think when you were 18 you'd be sitting in here worshiping the Lord? I mean, when you were a lot younger, how many of you were involved in things you're saying, this ain't never going to happen? I mean today, right? And so that work that he started in you, he's going to bring to what? He's going to bring to fruition, is he not? He's going to put it all the way through. He's got a plan, Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody knows that, right? I know the what? Plans I have for you, thus saith the Lord. And how many of you know, his plans aren't going to be thwarted. They're going to see them all the way through, aren't they? All the way, he's going to see them all the way through. The question is, do you want to go in the belly of a fish? Or do you want to go walking? I mean, do you want to go in the belly of a fish? Or do you want to go walking? And when he tells you to do something after you told him you're willing to do it, guess what? You're going to do it. Oh, you are going to do it. How many's ever been, you know, chastised by the Lord? Who's ever been shaken up by the Lord? Pastor Colin? No, I need experience, huh? No. I mean, he can get your attention, can't he? How many know when he says get some rest, he gets your attention too? He's got ways. And so we have to understand that either we want to be called for his purposes or we do not. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And I think a lot of you love to quote this passage of Scripture. I think everybody quotes this at some time, right?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
You know when we love to quote that is when we're preaching to somebody else. Ain't that crazy? I mean, we love to throw that out, Pastor, when we're talking to somebody else, right? Well, I just don't know. Hey, you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. But I don't know. Hey, don't worry about that. You can. Well, guess who else that pertains to? You. It pertains to you. I wonder how many times we, as brothers and sisters, have quoted that passage of Scripture to who? Us. Well, yes, but we should quote it to ourselves, shouldn't we? We should be able to quote that passage of Scripture, you know. To us.
To ourselves.
How many of you quoted that passage of Scripture to the benefit of somebody else? Haven't we?
Sure.
Oh, come on now. Just get your shoulders square. Get your head up. Now you can do all things through Jesus Christ's strength. You come on. But sometimes we ought to look in the mirror and tell ourselves that too, shouldn't we? Now let's look at these three passages of Scripture and let's put them together, right? I'm going to look at Philippians 2. You don't need to turn to them. 2:13, 1:6, and 4:13. Listen to him. For it is God who works in you to will and do for his good pleasure, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, for you can do all things. through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. What's your excuse? Oh, come on. We have excuses, right? I'm not smart enough. I don't know the Bible enough. I don't know how to pray good enough. I don't know Scripture well enough. I don't have the time enough. I don't have the resources enough. Come on, don't we? Who all has excuses of some sort? Don't we have them? We all got them. We all got them. Question is that a right thing to do, is throw excuses out? You want me to go to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I got to get up at 6 o'clock? Uh-huh, I'm going to do that, because I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. He'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Right? Well, I only have a week's worth of vacation. You want me to go down to Mississippi and go build a house on my week's vacation? Yeah, what's the problem with that? Would you think of a better thing to do? And so what we have to understand is that we have all said to the Lord, you have said corporately together, and you said individually, use me, Lord, use me. Who's ever said that? Who said, use me? Well, guess what he's going to do? He's going to use you. Unless you meant a caveat in there. Like, Lord, use me between Thursday. Wait. Use me, Lord, Thursdays. No, I'm busy Thursday. Okay, Lord, use me. Not Friday. Make a check. How many understand that's the way this is in 2013, isn't it? Use me. Okay, Lord. Wednesday. 4. And 4 and 4:45. I got some time. And I could squeeze you in. No, oh, Saturday got a honey-do list. I can't do that. Is that true of us in 2013? We are so busy, aren't we? We are so busy. And you know how many people say to me at times, Pastor Tom, why don't you just slow down? You know, I hate when they say you're getting old. I hate that. Somebody said to me the other day, you know your problem, don't you, is O-A. Yeah. O-A? What's that? No, it's an old age. Ow. You know, sometimes why pastors do what they do and why they do it, because nobody's standing behind them to take the turn. Did you know that? Pastor Tom, Pastor Ed, Pastor Colin, why do you do all that stuff that you're doing? Well, you should just take some time. Well, I would, but that still needs to be done. And I ain't seeing no line of people behind me. How many know that's true too? I mean, if the ministry still needs to be done, how many say no, that's true? So, if the ministry still needs to be done, and I'm the one that's been doing it, and somebody said, well, Pastor Tom, now you need to slow down a little bit. You need to take some time off. I go, okay, go ahead and do it. Well, I didn't mean me. Well, somebody's going to take care of it. Yeah, that somebody is who? Me. And so what we have to understand is that when God calls us to the ministry, guess who he's called? All of us. I'm looking at Glenn. Glenn does that tractor ministry. Praise God for Glenn. Now, is anybody capable of taking that tractor ministry? I told you, Sissy has a lawnmower thing. But that's probably not going to cut it, right? Hey, wait, it's 8 horsepower. That's a big tractor, 8 horsepower, right? And so, what has God called you to do? And are you the ones that's willing to do it? Like Pastor Colin and Robin, they do that prison ministry, right? Prison ministry. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go do that. I'm not saying that you need to. I went down one time and did it with them. But if they said, hey, we need some volunteers, would you be able to do that? You know, Sissy and I drove to Teen Challenge on Sunday. That's 5 hours there, 5 hours back for a 2-hour service I did. I'm not saying you need to do that, but I was called to do that. So what is God calling you to do? What's he calling you to do? You need to really grasp a hold of that. Is he calling us to do something? Yes. What is it? All right. So we know that we're called, and we know that God uses us. And so how do we call into us that power that God has available to us? We're going to study that in our discipleship training. How do we tap in to that power that's available to us? And how do we learn to be able to use that to our advantage? And we're going to talk about that, okay? So first thing that we need to talk about in our discipleship training is, okay, so what power is available to us? It said in that scripture, which you just read to you, I can do what? All things, and then the caveat is what? Through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Okay, so what does he strengthen me with? We're going to learn that today. Let's turn in our Bibles, and we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Ephesians chapter 1. And you all know what that means. The church to the letter of the church in where? Ephesus. Called Whitey Ephesians. Like if Whitey had a town, it would be called the Whiteyans. Well, that doesn't even sound good, Whitey, doesn't it? Whiteyans. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23.
Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
All right. Let's think about this power for just a second. I mean, there are some pretty good physicians at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. There's some world-renowned ones, really. They have people who come from all over the world to receive treatment at UPMC. And I don't know, you know, what your feeling is about UPMC. That's your deal. But I'll tell you this. We are lucky to live in a place that has a hospital like that. How many understand that? I mean, they got people all over the world who come there to that place. Now, even with all of the power through the knowledge that they have, and all of the training that they have, and all of the resources available to them. My mom's not here, so the brain surgeon I have, Dr. Paul Gardner, the neurosurgeon I have for the tumors I have, they had an Indian guru come from India. And he's the guru of millions of people. He came to here, UPMC, the same doctor I got. And so, I mean, all over the world. But what power do they have over life and death? Zero. Not any. Right, Sue? Not any. I mean, if somebody's in an emergency room and, you know, and they're nearing death, how many of those doctors can make that person come back alive? None of them. None of them. Think of the power it must take. Now, I want you to grasp a hold of this truth. I know that most of you, or not all of you, know the story of Lazarus. Right? Lazarus. And Lazarus was a friend of Christ, right? And one day Lazarus what? Died. He died. And a messenger was sent to Jesus, come quickly because Lazarus is dying. Did Jesus leave everything that he was doing and go? He did not. In fact, he waited how long? 3 days. He waited 3 days. Now, that's not like somebody's laying on the floor, and those of us that know this, right? You go down there and you start, what, 2 breaths and then 30 of these guys, right? And even in a situation like that, I read an article. This is kind of cool. How many of you are CPR trained? CPR trained. Do you know what percentage of people make it, even if CPR started right away? Is it 100%, Sue? It's minuscule. It's like in the 5th percentile. Did you guys know that? Even if you start it right away, only 5% of people make it if you start it right away. Did you know that, Sue? It's minuscule. So imagine Lazarus, who's dead. 3 days. Not 1 minute. Not, fall into a frozen lake and his body is frozen and all the systems are, frozen and they restart through, some kind of heating problem. No, he's dead for how many days? Three. 3 days. Now, without getting graphic into this, we all know the process of a human body after 3 days, some things have started happening. Is that a true statement? In 3 days, a process has started. And he shows up. And he says he's only sleeping. And they're kind of thinking, man, Jesus, he must be affected. This depression must really be kicking in. You got some depression going on here because he ain't sleeping. Because we wrapped him up. He ain't sleeping, Jesus. Roll away the stone, the door, open up everything. And what's he say? Lazarus, come forth. How much power must be in him to say to a person that has been dead for 3 days, come forth. And not only does he hear him, but he walks out. And the people couldn't believe it. Because the standard said, go take off the stuff. No, I can't take it off. Go take it off. Unwrap him. Because he who was dead is alive. And that power is in you. And that's crazy. The same power is in you. Does that mean you're going to call people from the dead? No. But it means you can do whatever God tells you to do according to his will and his plan. Because the same power is in each and every one of us. So what can't you do? What can't you do? You can't go there, or you can't go there, or you can't do this, or you can't say that, or you can't pray this, you can't say, what are you saying to me? Now, what you need to be saying is, I choose what? Not to. Well, no, that's different. I can understand that. If you say to me, as a pastor of a church, well, I just choose not to. Well, I can understand that. But don't say you can't. Because that's not true. It's what? I won't. Oh, that's different. How many understand that's the truth, right? I can't get up and pray. Why not? Why? I don't know what to say. Well, he'll give you the words to say. Moses said that. I can't. Just go. I'll speak. At least speak the truth. And the truth is what? I won't. That's different than I can't. Because if you tell me that you can't, then Jesus is a liar. How many believe that book is on your laps? Anybody who believes it? Well, when Scripture says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is that a lie? It has to be the truth. Well, then you can never say to me, you can't. Because the day you say to me, you can't, means what? You're a liar. Either you're a liar or he's a liar. How many understand that? It can't have both ways. You can't have it both ways. How many have Jesus Christ living in you? That means the Holy Spirit's dwelling where? And you can do what kind of things? So you can never say to me, I can't. At least speak the truth. What's the truth? I won't. Oh, that's different. Because I can't debate that. That's the truth. How many grasp that truth? And so we look at this passage of Scripture, and I want you to look at verse 19. For Ephesians chapter 1, and we want to look at verse 19. Read me verse 19, Mickey. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19.
And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power?
Woo! And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Wow! Is that just awesome? Man, that's just so awesome. And earlier on in my ministry, for example, man, to prepare a sermon, oh, What a daunting task. I mean, Pastor Ed, Pastor Colin, you find that daunting when you first did it? I mean, you got to have everything's got to be there, you know, underlined and highlighted, and you want to make sure it's, especially for me, big print. Anybody got to have big print? Big print, like font 35 or something, you know? How many understand that, too? How many's ever had a little print and forgot your glasses? Oh, jeez. And then the more you trust in the Lord, the more you trust in the Lord, guess what you're able to do? Just go. Just go. He'll take care of it. I mean, really, he'll take care of it. I mean, you know what I'm having fun of me when I'm speaking to you? I got a passage of scripture. That's it. And I'm just speaking. Because he'll give me the words to say. And what he'll do for the pastors, he will do for who? All of us. All of us. You know, sometimes the best prayer is when you don't think you can do it. And then just get up and let God be God, right? Just open up your mouth and God will speak. And so it tells you in this passage of scripture, it's clear. It says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Look at verse 20. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Wow. And that same power is available to who? All of us. Wow. You mean I could really go visit somebody in a hospital that I don't know? Mm-hmm. What will I say when I get there? I don't know. Let God be God. He'll take care of it. Won't he? He'll take care of it. Well, you want me to, you know, lead a study? Ah. Well, I don't know how. Well, today you don't. But when you're done, you will. Won't you? I mean, you want me to sing in the praise team? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to sing. Well, you will when you're done. Won't you? How many of you were not able to do something until you did it? Where's my teacher? Where's my teacher? How many kids couldn't do anything before you taught them at the end of the semester and they knew how to do it? A lot. So what's the easiest way to learn how to do something? Do it. You know, if I don't ever do anything, Whitey, guess what I'll never learn? Nothing. True? It's true. Where's my Mark? Here, you guys fooled me now. Mark. I almost called him Mark. Eddie? Mark. Eddie? Mark. Before you could, you know, build a house, you couldn't do it till you learned, right? Then you had to go to work and do it. Right? That's all of us. Yeah. Well, he's got a plan. She's got to work it. Turn your Bibles, please. Ephesians. We're going to stay in Ephesians. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1-6.
And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he made us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Mm.
So how is it possible that we have experienced the same power that Jesus Christ has experienced? How is that possible? Well, because he's already raised us from where we were. He's raised us from the dead too. Now, I know some of your histories, and some of you have a close relationship with Sissy and I. Some of us, we've been together 20 years or so. And I know some of your histories, and I know from whence you've come. I know stuff. I know stuff. And it's not up for me to share that with everybody, but I know stuff. And I know from how far you've come. And I can only assume that is through the power of God that you have come as far as you have come. How many say amen to that? And if that pertains to you, and you say to yourself, man, he's not pointing me out, but I know he's pointing me out, well, not pointing me out. If that pertains to you about how far you've come, you stand up. You stand up. Let people get a good look at you. Look at this. This is how far we have come through the grace of God. How else? How else? Dr. Phil could have done this? If Dr. Phil could not have done it, sit back down. Who says no to Oprah? Nope to Oprah, right? Nope to Oprah. Uh-uh. And how far we've come only through the grace of God, right? I mean, geez. How far? And there ain't no turning back now, is there? There's no turning back. Like that song, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, right? Yeah. And we have already experienced the power of God in our lives. Now, he did not obviously initiate that power in everyone to be a preacher. Thank God for that. It'd be a pretty boring place. So he didn't call all of us to be evangelists. He didn't call all of us to sing on a praise team. But he's changed us, hasn't he? He's changed us. And that power that God has enacted in our lives would be the first part of the work that he started in us. How many can understand that? That work that he started so many years ago. And maybe for some of us, it's been many years ago. Maybe for some of us, it's only been a week or two. But he started it. How many understand he started something? He started it. You know, when he called you through the calling of the Holy Spirit, and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you got changed and transformed, a new way of thinking, that work that he started in you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. The question is, are you willing? That's the question. It's not that he is able. How many know he's able? That's not the question. It's not the question, can he? Because he can. It's not the question, can you? Because you can. It's only a matter of what? Will you? That's it. Will you? And when I give you examples, listen, when I give you examples, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. Everybody understand that, right? It's only because, you know, what I got in front of me is what? Passage of Scripture. Same thing I gave Mickey. Let me see here, Mickey. Mickey. See? Mickey and I got the same thing. See? Da-da-da-da. And so when I give examples, because it's on top of my head. So everybody got the idea? Top of my head. Now, I'm not doing it to make anybody feel guilty. Just top of my head. Now, I know, for example, Mark went and picked up Timmy. Right? And you brought Timmy to church. Correct? And you're taking Timmy shooting with you and Bob and Mike, right? You ever shot a gun before? Oh, thank God it's not me going. I'm thankful you called for that, Mark. But he went and picked him up. But he didn't have to go do that. But he did it. And I'm not telling you because he needs accolades, because he doesn't. All I'm saying is that's the kind of stuff that we need to be doing. Snowing outside, somebody needs a ride? Call them on the phone. We'll get you there. Help me understand that. Stuff like that. It's stuff like we all can be doing. Anybody want to go shooting for Timmy the first time? Who's glad Mark, Mike, and Bob's going? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Timmy's going. Timmy, show me your shoulder when you're done, okay? Remember, Timmy, downrange, Timmy. That way, guns that way. Okay, so we are all called to do something for which God has already started. How many know God started on you already? I mean, he started something in you. And that's probably why you're here today. Now, why are you here today hearing me? Why? It's like 4 inches of snow. You could have stayed home. So why are you sitting here listening to this? Because God wants you to know that which he started in you, he's going to what, Pastor Colin? He's going to finish it. He's not a part-time God. He's an all-the-way-home God, right? And I'm going to let you know right now what Mike, I know where you're going. I don't want to say that. One time a pastor did that. And he came back out and somebody said, hey, would you wash your hands next time? Because he had this on, you know.
He didn't turn off.
He didn't turn it off. That wasn't me. It was not me. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8.
So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For what is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men.
The same power that was used to raise Lazarus from the dead, the same power that was used to raise Christ from the dead, is the same power needed to what? Forgive sin. Forgive sin. And for some of us in this room, it's hard to forgive some people. Isn't it? It's really hard to forgive some people. And quite possibly, who has somebody to forgive in this room? Maybe have anybody to forgive. They say, you know, I really need to forgive this person. I really need to work on this. All right. And a big question that needs to be asked is, well, how come you still have somebody that needs to be forgiven? That's a good question, huh? I mean, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can do what kind of things, and it takes that kind of power to forgive some folks in our lives, and I could do it because I have that power in me, then the other thing must be true. Is what? I choose not to. Yeah, I choose not to. Ain't that crazy? I choose not to. It's not that you can't. We just established that, didn't we? Because I can do what? All things. And if I can't do all things, then Jesus is the what? A liar. Well, I can't be a liar. So all of us have the same power of the Holy Spirit in us if we are truly saved. And so if I have someone I need to forgive and I haven't done it, then it only has to be by default. What? I didn't want to. Ain't that crazy? I didn't want to. I just didn't want to. You know, when Sissy and I and Shauna and others forgave the guy that killed our son, and we tell that story to folks, people say to me, I could never have done that. That's not right. That's not true. What's true? I would never have chosen to do that. That's true. Let me understand that. And so the same power that was used to be able to raise people from the dead is the same power that's needed to forgive folks too. Because Jesus said, what is it easier to do? To heal him or to forgive him? Which is easier? True? And Jesus showed by his example, he healed them. And Jesus said, it's just as difficult to forgive them. And through that power that I have, Jesus said, I can heal him and what? Forgive him. Now, here's where that we need to understand. That power that we have, not by my might, but what? Through his, not mine, his. I have the power in me to forgive people. I have the power in me to love people. I have the power in me to be more patient with people. I have the power in me to be more patient with myself. I have that in me. You cannot debate with me that you have it in you. If you tell me that you have Christ in you, then you can't debate that with me. If you have Christ in you, then you have what? The power in you. How many understand that? You can't debate that with me because you'll lose. You'll lose. There's only one of two possibilities. Either you don't have it in you, then we need to talk about that. How many understand that? You think you do, but you don't, then we need to talk about that. But if you tell me you're one of those, you ready, Mike? Born again. Bible thumping, card carrying, scripture quoting, Bible toting, sanctified, blood bought, Jesus freak. If you're one of those folks, then the Holy Spirit is in you, or this thing that Whitey's carrying is a lie. You can't have it both ways. Can you? Pastor Ed? It's either true or not. You can't tell me, well, paragraph 1, section, subsection 2. No, that's Obamacare. That's not the same thing. What am I thinking? I mean, this is true or it's not true. Glenn? It's true. How many agree it's true? End of that discussion. If you have Jesus Christ in you, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. True or false? Glenn? True. Who agrees with that statement? And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the power of God in you. How many say that's true? For I can do
all
through who? Is that true? Well, then the only other possibility is what? Two, that's a lie. Or you choose what? Not to. I think it's enough of that for today. So, reflect on that. Reflect on that. What is it that you have not done only because you choose not to? What a waste of power that is. What a waste of power that is. You know, some people might be saying, well, I don't want to tap into all that power. I want to save it. Really? I'm glad Sissy's downstairs because she would tell you. She bought for me a brand new set. All the guys get ready to say, oh, okay. Craftsman. 400 piece. Standard and metric. Ratchets. Open-end wrenches. Screwdrivers. And I was, you know, putting up a big screen TV, moving one for her yesterday. And I went down and my ratchet wasn't working. I kept banging on it. She said, where's your new one I bought you? Guess what I said? I'm saving it. I'm saving it. It's still in the plastic. She said, and what are you saving it for? I said, well, when I need it. She said, you need it. I want that TV. Go get it. So, Shauna and Kevin bought me something for Christmas. They bought me, all the guys get ready to say, all right, one of those emergency starters. Still in the box. Guess why? I'm saving it. Well, let me tell you right now, do not save God's power. You can't use it all up. And the more you use, the more you'll get. Michael, I see you raising your hand like three times. You must want to say something back there, Mike. Stand up and be heard. Woo! Excuse me while I give him a high five. Michael, I'm glad you stood up. That was well worth the effort. You hear what Michael said? Use it or lose it. Ooh, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we have the power. Oh, Lord, we have endless power. All we got to do is flip a switch. Flip a switch. Lord, that power that raised Christ from the dead, we have available to us too. Mm-mm-mm. We have the power to forgive. We have the power to love more better, more deeply. We have the power to be able to be more patient. We have the power. We have it. We have it. So all we must see as our problem is we just choose not to use it. I suppose that's the truth. So Lord, help us to tap into that power. And all of God's people said.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to go home and I'm going to open up my new toolkit. I'm going to take all the tools and put them in my little workbench. Then I'm going to take that thing that Shauna and Kevin got me plugging it in and charging it up. So the question is, what are you going to do with the power God gave you? Are you saving it? Well, hopefully not. Go do something with it. Change some lives, okay? Change some lives. So go from this place. The service is not over. Just getting started. This was the worship. Out there is the service. So go in peace. All of God's people said, amen. Amen.